You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. I'm Allison Fritter from MLB.com, and I'm here with Todd Zielecki, who covers the Phillies for MLB.com. And Todd, let's break down this huge trade that happened between the Astros and the Phillies, and the names that first came out changed a little bit. And it seems that the Phillies or the Philly fans pretty happy with the haul that they got back. Did you hear any negative feedback, or is everyone pretty much on board with this?
Almost pretty much everybody was on board with it. I ran a little Twitter poll, and not that it's exactly scientific or anything, but about 2,500 people respond, and 89% said they did like the trade at face value. So mostly everybody seemed to like it, seemed to understand what the Phillies were doing. The people that did not like it, I guess they just couldn't get over the fact that Ken Giles is a in his very brief minor league career, major league career, about a year and a half or so, dominant at the major league level, was under team control for the next five seasons, and they just couldn't kind of get over the fact that they just traded a potentially elite-level closer when they believe, hey, you know what, we could be contending in 2017, 2018, and who's going to close for us then? But I think most people understood it, and in talking to Andy McPhail about this trade, he said, hey, we're trying to get better with the first six innings, seven innings of the game, so we actually need a guy in the ninth inning to pitch for us. There were so many times last year where, Jonathan Papelbon would go like 10 days, 2 weeks in between save situations, and, that's because they had really, quite frankly, really bad starting pitching. So this trade, I think they're hoping is going to put them in the position where, like I said, in a couple of years, they actually have a nice problem to have, which is, hey, we need a good closer again.
Right. I did get a kick out of you polled the fans, like, who should be the next closer, and most people were their answer was, who really cares? Because a good closer on a bad team is a luxury that nobody really needs.
Right.
Before we get into that, but I do want to just kind of go through some of the players that the Phillies did acquire. And, of course, I come from the Astros side, having covered them for many years, so I might have some differences of opinion, but I don't find Mark Appel to be as compelling as Vincent Velasquez, who, if he stays healthy, I think could be a key in this trade. And I guess that's kind of Phillies understand that, but the key is that he has to stay healthy.
Yeah, Vincent Velasquez is definitely the key piece of this trade for the Phillies. He is the guy that they were most excited about getting. And Mark Appel, I think that they're just hoping that, hey, maybe a change of scenery, maybe something will click with him finally, that he can kind of live up to the potential and the hype that he had as the first overall pick a couple of years ago. But certainly Velasquez, if he stays healthy, that's the guy they are most excited about. They project him as at least a middle of the rotation starter. And I know when I say that to fans, I say, well, he projects as a number three. They go, well, what's the big deal about a number three? Then I say, well, Jeff Samardzija's got a career over four, and he just signed a $90 million contract with the Giants. So if you can find some, a few middle-of-the-rotation guys or even better, that sets you up for down the road when you need to add a big bat or find another, spend some money on a closer. So having Velasquez pan out and be a solid 32-start guy per season, I think would be huge for this team. And Appel, like you said, I think fans look at the numbers and go, what's going on there? And they're right to say that, but they hope that maybe, maybe something will find a click for him. Roy Halladay, early in his career, he got sent back to Class A because he was struggling at the big league level. I think they're kind of quietly hoping that maybe this will be a Roy Halladay situation where he figures out something, and next thing you know, he's a force in the rotation for years to come.
Yeah, I found Appel's comment that sort of circulated around the Twitter sphere pretty interesting, just that he was excited to kind of go to a team where the expectations of being the number one overall pick were not just sitting there waiting on his shoulders. It seemed like a little bit of a dig at the Astros, but I think Appel, just kind of knowing him briefly, he was more thinking about that he would like a clean slate too.
Right.
And so I guess that's what they have to kind of be looking at right now, is just him like starting over.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of truth to that, because in Philadelphia, nobody looked at that trade. I haven't heard one fan say, "Oh my gosh, we've got our ace of the future." they kind of see it for what it is. And, you know, this is an organization that last year at this time, they had one of the worst farm systems in baseball. Now they have one of the better farm systems in baseball. And they have a lot of really good pitching prospects. So it's not like he's coming in as the savior. It's not like he's the guy that needs to save the rotation. You know, the Phillies aren't counting on him to build a rotation around. They have Vincent Velasquez. They got Jake Thompson, who they got in the Cole Hamels trade. They got Zach Eflin, who's their number nine prospect, who they got in the Jimmy Rollins trade. You know, and they have some other guys coming up through the system that they're really high on. So, you know, I think there is some truth there. And hey, you know, time will tell if it's just talk or if it actually can help them out. But certainly, yeah, that whole savior sense of or feeling that Astros fans might have had around Mark Appel when they drafted him a couple years ago is definitely not going to be the case in Philadelphia.
Right. And so you touched on it a little bit, but after the Hamels trade and now the Giles trade, I mean, how do you see, is this just like, how much did this improve the farm system? I mean, did it just catapult them up 16, 17 spots in the rankings? I mean, did it do that much? Would you say that they definitely did what they set out to do?
Yeah, I think so. You know, last year, you know, after the July 31st trade deadline, after the Hamels trade, and it might have even after the Chase Utley trade in August, I talked to, you know, our Jonathan Mayo and Jim Callis, our minor league guys at MLB Pipeline, and kind of asked them, like, you know, how much do you think the farm system has improved? And I believe they said, you know, last year, going into last offseason, they were bottom third. And right now they're probably number seven or number eight. So you got to figure that at least that much after the Ken Giles trade. So it's been a huge, huge difference. I just talked with Annie McPhail about it and saying, you know, boy, you've got so much more pitching now than you had. He's like, yeah, but you know what? As much pitching as you think you have, you never really have as much as you need. So I think in their mind, they're still going to be looking for pitching in the draft next year. And going forward, and I think that's what they would take. You know, we're looking way down the road, and next June, I think they're probably going to take a picture with the number one overall pick.
Yeah, they have. The Phillies have to feel like they're in a good position because not only, I mean, if you say that they're like seventh in their minor league system, and they're always going to have money to spend. It's not like they're ever going to be a poor team in that market. So that's a pretty good situation if you're a team that has money to play with and is in the top 10 in farm systems. That's pretty much the ideal goal for everybody in baseball.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have kind of said, "Oh, the Phillies—they're a sleeping giant," and I understand what they're trying to, what they're saying there, because you're right. After this next season, after the 2016 season, they're going to have Ryan Howard's contract off the books. They're going to have Carlos Ruiz's contract off the books. Pretty much every long-term contract is going to be gone. So, if they can turn it around, if they show enough improvement in 2016. You know, maybe they spend a little bit of money next off season, and if it's not, they're not quite there yet. Maybe it's going to be the following off season. But the main point is definitely true, which is when it comes time to spend, the Phillies are going to have a lot of money to spend, and I think ownership is definitely going to spend it. You know, John Middleton, one of the Phillies owners, said at the Andy McPhail press conference in June, he turned to him and said, "Andy, I'm going to give you every resource you need to win," and that is definitely going to include spending big money on big-time free agents when the time comes. But right now, Andy said, now is not the time to do it.
Wow, yeah, anybody would like to hear that. I'm going to give you money to spend.
Right, nice. Exactly.
Okay. Todd, thank you so much. Appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you soon.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.